Today's shiur is Masechta Chagiga Daf Chaf Peis, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Peis Amud Aleph at the sixth line. My Ikka Bein the Rav Ola Rav Ila. As we had learned in the previous shiur, our Mishnah, which teaches us various halachas, actually 11 halachas, where kodesh is more chomer, is more stringent than truma, and the first such thing that the Mishnah taught us was chaymer b'kodesh v'truma, that by kodesh ein mafilim keli b'toch keli, if we have to immerse in a mikveh kelim, we're not allowed to put one keli into another keli. However, by truma we may. And the Gemara brought two reasons for this din. There was the reason that Rav Ila gave, that was kvedo shakeli chaytzitz. We're concerned that if we put one keli in another keli, the keli inside will be laying heavily on the other keli and will therefore form a chatzitza, form an area where the water of the mikveh cannot come and prevent it from being properly immersed, and therefore by kodesh, Chazal said, ein matpilin keli b'tar keli. Rava, on the other hand, taught us that the reason is that when we put one keli into another keli, in order for the tefillah to be effective, the opening of the outer keli has to be at least the size of a shveferes hanoid, which we explained was 2 inches, 6 inches in circumference. And the concern was that one will use a keli, the outer keli will not have an opening that wide, and that's why by kodesh, Chazal taught us we should not ever be toivel, immerse one keli within another keli. Asks now the Gemara, my ikka bein the Rav Ola Rav Ila. What's the halachic nafgamina between Rav and Rav Ila? Says the Gemara, ikka benayu, sal v'gagarsani shemilon kelim v'tbilam. If somebody has a basket or a large strainer that one filled with vessels and immersed them. L'mand omim shem chatzitza, according to the mandom, that there's a concern one keli resting on top of the other keli forms a chatzitza. So it makes no difference what type of keli is the other keli. Ikka, that concern exists. However, the mandom, according to Rava, mishum gzeirish shema yatbil machtem v'tzinoiris b'keli she'em b'fiv shveris hanoi, one may come to immerse needles in a keli that doesn't have the right size opening. Tau salvagar gatuni, these kalim she'em b'fiyam shveris hanoi leka, there is never a circumstance, this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara, where these kalim don't have a large enough opening. So by such kalim, there was no reason the Chazal should decree a concern according to Rava that we should not be allowed to be toivel keli b'tach keli, and in such type of kalim, even by kodesh, we're allowed to be toivel keli b'tach keli. Ask the Turi Evid that we know throughout Shas there's always a concept of nesatet v'rech l'shurim, that when Chazal make a rule, they keep to the rule all the time. They don't make exceptions to the rule. Here we're finding an interesting phenomena, that by salvagar gatuni, given that these kalim are so large, the gezeira, that if the opening is not large enough, doesn't apply. Where do we find such a concept in Shas? Asks the Turi Evin. Answers the Turi Evin that even though throughout Shas we always say this concept of nasata derech l'shurim, says the Turi Evin, that's only where it's remotely possible that there could be a situation of a concern. But in a situation where it can never be an area of concern, like our Gemara, given that these openings are so large, there's never going to be a concern of keli b'tach keli, Chazal did not make the gzeira. We've explained now Gemara the way Rashi and Rabbein Chananel explained the Gemara, that given that these kelim, the sal v'gar gatuni, have such large openings, Rava's concern that the opening may not be wide enough never exists, and therefore Chazal did not make gzeira by such kelim. The Rash, however, has a totally different explanation of the Gemara. He says, And perhaps one of the reasons the Rash says his pshat is an answer to the Turi Evans concern. He says, the reason why Rava will allow us to use a salvagagatuni to be toivel one keli within the other keli is because since these baskets are made out of wicker, they're made out of straw, so it's not a solid material, there are holes in the material, and that's what affects that the tefillah should be effective, because the water goes in between those holes. And as the Rash goes on to explain, as we will learn in our Gemara, although it's considered that it has holes and openings for the water of the mikveh to penetrate and can be considered an effective tefillah for the kalim inside the basket, it's not an effective force that it should be considered that if one divided a mikveh with such a salve gagaratuni, even though they have these holes because they're made out of straw or wicker, that it should not be a divider of the mikveh, and if they would now have on both sides not adequate shiurim, the mikveh will be considered divided. Tosfos asks that the Gemara could have given a different nafgamina between Rava and Ravila. The Gemara could have said that according to Rava, that the concern is only about the opening, that is only a concern that affects the pins and needles that we put inside the keli. The outside keli, even by Kodesh, will certainly be considered effectively immersed under all circumstances. However, according to Rav Ila, who said that the concern is Kvedesh HaKeli Chaitzitz, so then the spot where the inner keli is touching the outer keli will be chatzitza not only for the inner keli, will also be chatzitza for the outer keli, and therefore according to Rav Ela, a tefillah of keli b'tach keli should be ineffective for both. That's the nafkamina the Gemara should have quoted. Answers Tosfos that our Gemara is referring to a situation where the outer keli is tar already anyway, so it doesn't make a difference Rav's pshat or Rav Ela's pshat. However, Tosfos notes that Rashi in the Mishnah clearly indicates that both kalim that we're discussing, the inner keli and the outer keli, are both tamei. So why, according to Rashi, doesn't the Gemara use this nafgamina? Answers Tosfos that although according to Rashi the Gemara could have indeed mentioned this as a nafgamina, but the Gemara avoided using this nafgamina because if that would be the example, then according to Rav Ela, both kalim would not be effectively immersed, and according to Rav, only the inner one. The example the Gemara gave as the nafgamina allows that according to Rav, both kalim are effectively immersed. So we have more of a heter, and the Gemara is seeking an example that gives us more heter, koyich da teira adif. Says the Gemara, Rav the Rav la tamei, and Rav going according to his shita, that the concern is the size of the opening. Dama Rava, Salvagagatuni Shemilim Kalim. If somebody filled up a basket or this large strainer with Kalim, Vit Bilon, and he immersed them that way, Tahirim. Or Mikveh Shechilke Besalvagagatuni. However, if one divided a mikveh, as we discussed a moment ago with the Salvagagatuni, Hatoiva Shamlai also Tfila, because it serves as a divider. The Ara, even though asked the Gemara, don't these wicker baskets have holes, so it should not be considered a divider because the water goes through the holes. Says the Gemara, Ara Kula, all ground, Kula, Chalchulim Machalchul, is porous. It'll be inin, and yet the halacha is, the Ika Abom saw, but Mokamechon. We have to have 40 saw in the mikveh itself. And we can't rely that if the mikveh, as in those days, had the ground as the floor, that the water that from the mayon oozing from under the ground should be connected to the water in the mikveh, and say that we have 40 saw. So we see that even though something is porous, it doesn't have an effect to make it a kosher mikveh. Similarly, this wicker basket, even though it has holes, will not connect both sides of the mikveh, and it will still be considered an effective mikveh. And again, here the Rishonim bring up a subject that we've discussed in our shiurim a number of times. The Rashi says that the mikveh here is over a ground. Its source of water is from a mayon, a stream, and even though the ground is porous, it's not a kosher mikveh if the pool itself doesn't have 40 saw. But we, as we have discussed, there's a discussion amongst the Rishonim if a mikveh of a mayon requires it all 40 saw. So shouldn't, again, we have a proof here that a mikveh requires 40 saw? So some Rishonim actually bring this as a proof to their position. Others explain that there's a difference, as we've discussed, between when we use a mayon to be toivel kalim, utensils, versus when we use a mayon for a human. For a human, we always need 40 saw. For Adam, we need 40 saw. And that's the case under discussion here, but could still well be that for kalim, we don't need 40 saw of a mayon. The Tosfos Rid explains the Gemara differently. Here we're discussing a situation where this is a pool drawing its source from Megishamin, from rainwater. Well, there certainly we need 40 saw, and the Gemara is saying that porous earth dividing the pool from the from one pool from another pool will not be considered connected and will not be a valid mikveh, a 40 saw, unless there are 40 saw in the mikveh itself. Says the Gemara, another note of qualifying Rav's din, the hani mili b'kli tahor. This was all said only if the outer vessel is a keli tahor. That's when the halacha requires that if we want to put another keli, we want to put a pin inside that outer vessel, the opening has to be at least the size of kishreferes hanoid. Ava b'kli tamei, if the outer vessel is tamei, Miga the salka tefila kule gufa de mana, since the tefila will anyway be effective for the outer vessel, salka nami lekalim de ispe, it will also be effective for the kalim inside it. So there's a machlokes achroinim. How do we understand what the Gemara is teaching us? Some achroinim, this is the way I think the Chazon Ish is trying to explain the Gemara, says that this is a halacha. The halacha teaches that a tefillah cannot be partially effective. And if in this case, the tefillah is being effective for the outside keli, because for the outside keli, there's no concern about the size of the opening, it therefore automatically, the halacha teaches us, is effective for the inside keli, no matter what the size of the opening is. Others want to explain this Gemara. As we know, when a person goes to the mikveh, and his entire being has to be immersed in the mikveh. But in every person, there's the Beis HaStarim. There are our internal organs that are not exposed to the mikveh. But the halacha is that the Beis HaStarim doesn't have to be exposed to the mikveh. It's included when one immerses his whole body in the mikveh. Similarly, when the outside keli is mechuyev, is obligated to be immersed, and it has such a small opening, everything inside is considered like the base of storm of a person, and the tefillah will be effective. Now, there are a number of shailas how far to take this heter of the Gemara. Firstly, we have a machloikis Rashi and Rambam. Rashi says that even though the Gemara is teaching us this heter, that a Rava will agree that even if there's a small opening, if the outer keli is tamei, then the tefillah will be effective even for the inside pins that are put inside. That's only for truma and chulin. But for kodesh, Rashi says, this heter will not apply. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that the Gemara doesn't make any exception, and apparently the Gemara holds that this will be effective under all circumstances. The Mashal explains, why is Rashi saying what he says, that this heter isn't an heter for kodesh? So he says, because the Gemara, if this were true, that this heter that the Gemara is explaining in Rav's position is even for Kodesh, so why when we began the Shia today, and the Gemara was looking for a nafkamina between Rav and Rav Eila, didn't the Gemara give this nafkamina? That according to Rav, if the outside Keli is also Tamei, then you could be Toivel Keli b'Toiv Keli. According to Rav Eila, obviously this is not a heter. Obviously this heter doesn't apply by Kodesh. Another shaila that the Achroidim discuss is, let's say one had the outer keli tamei, but he did not realize when he toivled the outer keli that there was a chatzitza, there was a label on the outer keli. So now, and then he toivled it with the inner kalim. Now the question is, given that the tefillah of the outer keli was ineffective for an outside reason, will that affect the tefillah of the inner kelim? So machlokes, the Tiferes Yisrael seems to learn that the inner kelim will have been considered effectively immersed. The Mishnah Achrona says that the entire effectiveness on the inner kelim is based on the tefillah of the outer keli, and if the outer keli is not considered immersed, then the inner keli cannot be considered immersed either. There's another shaila. What will be the halacha if the outer keli is tamei, but it's only tamei midrabbanan, and the inner keli is tamei midaraisa? Will we say the migui or not? The Turi Evans seems to say that we will be able to say the migui even under such circumstances. This is the pshat that Rashi, and as we explained the Gemara, we've explained the Gemara. There's another pshat in understanding the Gemara. It's the pshat that the Meiri learns with. The Meiri says that an opening that's less than the size of a Shofaris Hanoid is never effective, even if the outer keli, the outer larger keli, is tamei. Our Gemara is referring to a situation where the outer keli does have an opening the size of a Shofaris Hanoid. But as we've been learning, Rava says that our Mishnah taught us that we made a gzeira that we can never put one keli into another keli, because even when the opening is large enough, we make a gzeira, because when the opening may not be large enough. Tells us the Meiri that what the Gemara is saying now is that if the outer keli is tamei and the opening is large enough, then we don't make the gzeira. The Tanan, and the Gemara proves that this pshat is correct. The Gemara proves that this halach is correct. That now kelim shemilim kelim vitbilon. If one puts kelim into another kelim and he immerses them that way, hare elu tahirim, the tar. Then loy tavo. But if man did not immerse the outer vessel, mayim hamarovim, the water in the outer vessel that's mingled with the water of the mikvah cannot affect the inner kelim. Atshei marovim kishferes anoyt, unless there's an opening the size of shferes anoyt. My kama v'lom loy tovel. Ask him, what does it mean if he didn't tovel? So it's more hach kama. Vim ain't a tzarech let biloy. If we're referring to a situation where the outer keli does not have to be immersed, or mayim ham rovim, but he wants to rely on the water that will come into the keli that will affect positively the needles in the inner keli, then we have to have a situation, atshei murovim kishferes anoyt, they have to have the opening of the shferes anoyt. Says the Gemara, v'hod the Rav Rav Eila, this machlokes of Rav Rav Eila, what is the reason why we're not allowed to be toivel keli b'toiv keli, is tanoi, he is a machlokes tanoim. The Tanya salvaga gatuni shemilon kelim v'tbilim, if somebody filled up the salvaga gatuni and was toivel him that way, bein l'kodesh, bein l'tshuma tohir, this represents Rav Shita, because Rav is telling us, as we started today's shiur, that in these large kelim, there is never a reason to make a gzeira, and that's why even by kodesh, it's an effective tefillah. Abishol oimer, the truma of Laila kodesh. Obviously, Abishol's concern is kvedish to keli chaitzitz, so it makes no difference what type of keli is the outer keli, and therefore, it's not effective by kodesh, only by truma. As Toysus, he says a tzorchiyin. Yes, the Mishnah, as Rav Eila explains it, and as Abishol obviously agrees with Rav Eila, there's a concern of kvedish akeli chaitzitz. But here we're one already toiveled. Why b'di'evid is it ineffective? So the Chazon Ish answers Tosfos' question. And it's a good way of introducing the next Gemara we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem. Chazon Ish explains, as we're going to learn in the next Gemara, a very big part of the reason why Chazal made this gezeira of not being allowed to be toivel keli b'toiv keli is that a meratzim should not learn and make a mistake how tefillah is done. So enochanami, we toiveled keli b'toiv keli, we shouldn't have, but we did, and it was an effective tefillah. But we're going to allow this tefillah to hold that in the future a meratzim will think that this is an effective tefillah. What the entire purpose was to avoid such a circumstance, and that's why b'di'evit, even Abishol says, for kodesh, it's an ineffective tefillah. Ask the Gemara, ihochi, if this is such a legitimate concern, trumanami, why do we only say by kodesh, it's osur to be toivel keli b'toiv keli? We should say the same by truma also. So Rashi explains that the Gemara's question is both according to the explanation Rav Ela gave and the explanation Rava gave and why Keli B'Toch Keli is Asur, both of those reasons should be reasons to say it's not effective by Truma also. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. However, Rabbeinu Chananel explains that the Gemara is only asking according to Rava. That Rava told us that that the halach is that the opening has to be at least the size of a Shefaris Hanoi, and if it's not that size, the tefillah is ineffective. So if that's the case, how come by Truma we're not concerned about this? And the Turi Evan, and with Rabbeinu Chananel's approach, answers a question that the Turi Evan also asked. Torah Evan asks that we've learned that we started today's shir explaining that our Mishnah mentioned 11 examples where we're more stringent by Truma than by Kodesh. And the Gemara in the coming Dafim and Mitzvah Shem will explain each one of those dinim. We don't find by most of those cases, says the Torah Evan, that the Gemara says that the same reason we were machm by Kodesh, we should also be machm by Truma. We don't find that the Gemara asks such a question. Because Kodesh is by definition more chomer, more stringent than by Truma. So why here does the Gemara ask the question? But according to Rabbeinu Chananel's explanation, it's very gishmak. Rabbeinu Chananel is saying that the Gemara's questions are rava. The Rav's concern is based on a legitimate halacha that you have to have an opening the size of Shver Sonoid. Therefore, the Gemara asks, so if so, by Truma, that concern should be there too. But the Torah Evan says that even according to Rashi's as explanation, that the question is even going according to Rav Ela, in all the other cases that the Mishnah mentions, the concern is something that may happen, could have happened. Here, we're talking about a real halacha that we should be trying to be concerned about, and that's why the Gemara here specifically asks, Ihochi Truma Nami. Says the Gemara, Laman Kamrinan, to whom are we saying this halacha that we should be careful when we're Kaival Kaili B'Toch Kaili? To Chaverim, to people who are Tamid Chachamim, that make sure to do things right. Chaverim Meidi Yadi, they're going to do the Truma right. Says the Gemara, Ihochi, if that's the line of reasoning we're following, then by Kodesh Nami. So say the same thing by Kodesh. That who are we talking to? To Chaverim. And Chaverim will make sure to be Toivel, the Kalim properly, and there's no reason to make Xera not to be Toivel, Kalim, but Kali. Says the Gemara, Chazal Le'am Oretz V'matbo. By Kodesh, we're concerned that the Amoritz will see that the Talmud Chochem is being Toivel Keli B'Toch Keli. Of course, when he's doing it properly, but the Amoritz will copy him, but without following all the details of the Halacha. Ask the Gemara, if that's the concern, Truma Nami Chazalei Amoritz V'Ozlo Matbel. So by Truma also, why are we not worried that the Amoritz will see what the Talmud Chochem does and copy him? So the Gemara like Kabbalim and I. We don't take Truma from Amoritz, so we don't have to worry that he's going to copy that the way we did Truma, he'll do Truma, because we don't take Truma from him either. Anyway, says the Gemara, Kodesh Namila in the Kabbalim and I, so let's not take Kodesh from him either. Says the Gemara, Havalei Eva. That will cause sinner, will cause animosity between different parts of Klal Yisrael if we don't take Kodesh from them. Says the Gemara, if that's a concern, Truma Nami Havaleva, so we should accept Truma for them also to avoid this forming any animosity between us and Amoratzim. Says the Gemara, by Truma Lai Ichbaslei. Truma doesn't bother him, doesn't bother the Amoritz if we don't take for him. The Ozl Yavle Lekoyin Amoritz Chavre. As the Mefarshim explained, Truma is the prerogative of the owner to give to whomever he wants. So the Amoritz gives his Truma to another kind of Amoritz. However, Kodesh has to be given to the Kohanim who are working on that week's Mishmer. Can't just choose whom he's going to want to give. And here, this Amoritz will prepare his Menachos, other ingredients that are brought to the Beis Hamikdash in his Kelim that are Tamei. We don't want to cause, as the Gemara will explain more in a moment, a situation that we don't take from them. So that's why we're more stringent by Kodesh than by Truma. Ask the Meiri an obvious question. Here we're saying that by Truma, the Chaver is Matbel Keli B'Toch Keli. Even if the Amoritz sees him and will copy him improperly, not with the full detail, doesn't bother us, because we're not taking Truma from him. Kaddish, however, if he copies us, we're gonna be accepting his Kaddish. As the Meiri, but if the Amoret sees us doing Keli B'tar Keli B'Truma, won't that open up his mind that he should think that he should allow to do Keli B'tar Keli B'Kaddish? So we should have the same concern. Answers the Meiri, that even the Amoret realizes that there's a difference between Kaddish and Truma. And just because he sees us being toivel, Keli B'tar Keli by Truma, that will not make him think that he's allowed to do the same by Kaddish. For every Amoritz recognizes the difference between Kaddish and Truma. And therefore, by Truma will be toivel Keli B'tar Keli. And even if the Amoritz copies us, it doesn't bother us because we're not accepting Truma from him anyway. But by Kaddish, we're not toivel Keli B'tar Keli because we want to avoid the Amoritz copying us and then we'll accept his Kaddish because we want to avoid Eva. Ask the Gemara, Uman Tana de Chayish Leiva, who is the Tana throughout Shas that's concerned to avoid this possible animosity between the Chaverim and the Amoratzim? Says the Gemara Reb Yossi. The Tanya Omer Reb Yossi, when they may call Namonim al Taras for Yayim Vishem calling Moshe Shana, why do we believe everyone about the Tahara status of wine and oil year wrong? We want to avoid a situation that we're not going to trust the Amoraites on the Tahara status of their oil and wine. They're going to go build a bina by Malatzmai. If we're not going to accept it in our base Hamikdash, they'll make their own place, which of course we want to avoid. We want to avoid Sarir Paradu Malatzmai, that they should have their own Tahara system. We want to keep them part of Klal Yisrael. And that's why, because of the concern of Eva, we take Kaddish from them. Amar Rapapa says Rapapa, Kaman Mekablino Heidna Sahadusa Me'amoritz, according to whom do we accept Edis from Ma'aretz? Kaman Kreb Yossi, according to Reb Yossi, that he wants to avoid this animosity. Similarly, we accept Edis from Amaratzim to avoid animosity. It's interesting the way Rashi seems to explain the Gemara. Our Mishnah that is teaching us that we're allowed to accept Kaddish from Maratzim is going according to Reb Yossi. However, the Rabbanon, who in Masech the Pesachim teach us we don't accept testimony from Maratzim, will be going according to the Rabbanon. That's how Rashi seems to learn. However, the Rif and the Ramban say that even the Rabbanon, who in Masech the Pesachim say we're not Mekabel Edis from Amoratzim, could agree with the din we learned in our Mishnah. For they explain there are two categories of Amoratzim. There are those Amoratzim that don't know how to learn, but they do mitzvahs, and they follow what they saw from their forefathers. And then there are Amoratzim who do Averis. When the Rabbanan tell us in Masech the Pesachim that we don't accept testimony from Amoratzim, it's referring to Amoratzim of the second category. But Amoratzim of the first category, although unlearned, but certainly trying to do the right thing, even the Rabbanim will agree with Rabbi Yossi that we want to avoid Eva, we want to avoid animosity, and we accept testimony from them. And the Chazon Ish explains that this is a balance that Chazal had to weigh. On one hand, we know that the level of observance of the Amoratzim was a low level, and therefore we had to be concerned about different things that might have happened because of their low level of observance. On the other hand, explains the Chazon Ish, we don't want to be merachik them, we don't want to distance them from being an active part of Klal Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, even we're not accepting Truma from the Amoritz, ask the Gemara, V'nechesh l'sheila, why are we not concerned that one will borrow vessels from the Amoritz? And if the Amoritz was not toivel them, did not immerse them properly, did not tahor, why are we not concerned from that? So what the Gemara will now do is prove that we do borrow vessels from Amoratzim, and therefore this question is a very legitimate question. But before we begin the Gemara, we have to say a word of introduction. As we mentioned in the previous shiur, Kli Cheres, earthenware utensils, have a kula and a chumra. A kula is that earthenware utensils, vessels do not become tamei gaboy from their exterior. They only become tamei from aviroi, from the interior. The chumra is that earthenware utensils cannot be tahor by just immersing them in a mikvah. Shvirason zu tarosim. The only way they become tahor is by breaking them. Another halacha. If there's a mace in an oil, if there's a mace in a home, the entire house and all the items in that oil become tamei. What doesn't become tamei is anything that's in a kli cheres, that has a tzomet pasul, that's properly sealed. Another din is that if the house in which the mace is a two-story house, and the mace is in the lower floor, but if there's an opening between the lower floor and the upper floor, the tumah travels to the upper floor, unless that opening is covered with something which is not tamei, which is something that's not tamei, or something that's not mekabel tumah. Says the Gemara, that's not klicheres. This klicheres that's not tamei, and is not mekabel tamei from its exterior, as we just explained. Matzah al koil. If there's a mace in a home, anything that's in the klicheres that's sealed will not be tamei. And furthermore, this klicheres could serve as a valid partition, as a valid covering in that opening between the lower floor and the upper floor. Divrei Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai Amrim, Eina Matzal Ala Oichlim V'Ala Mashkim. The klicheres that's in the opening between the lower floor and the upper floor could only effectively serve as a partition for food and drink V'Al klicheres, or for other earthenware vessels. And interesting to note that here we find that Beis Hillel's position is mentioned before Beis Shammai's position, even though normally, as we've explained, Beis Shammai's position is generally mentioned first. Amlehem Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. So Beis Hillel say to Beis Shammai, Neima, why do you draw a distinction between these different items? Amr Beis Shammai. So Beis Shammai respond, Neishutame al gabe amaoritz. The keli, this earthenware keli, is tamei. Because it's the keli of an amaoritz, and the keli of an amaoritz is always considered tamei, and this halacha that a kli cheres can serve as a partition between the lower floor and the upper floor is only when the keli, as we said, is a tor keli. But this is a tamei keli. The ein kli tamei chaitzitz. A kli tamei cannot serve as this blockage between the lower floor and the upper floor. Amalam Beis Hillel. So Beis Hillel say to Beis Shammai, "V'lo kihartim achlam oichlam amashk shibatoichay." You obviously aren't concerned with this because you said that the food and drink in the klicheres or the food and drink on the upper floor are not tamei. If the klicheres is considered according to you a keli tamei, why does it serve a chatzitza as a chatzitza to affect that the food and drink in it or the food and drink upstairs are not tamei? Amalei Beis Shammai, respond Beis Shammai. Kishatanu oichlem amashk shvatoichai. When we said that the food and drink remain tar, that the klicheres is considered an effective block for that, le'atzmoi tiharnoi. It's only for the amoritz that we said this halacha. A chover will not eat the food or drink of an amoritz. Aval nitaras a keli. If we'll say that the kelim in the upper floor remain tar, that affects the chover also. The chover borrows kelim from the amoritz. And if we will tell an amoritz that if we're going to say that this is considered an effective covering, it affects the talmud, the chover. Is he allowed to use the kelim from the upper floor? Is he not allowed to use the kelim from the upper floor? Given that we hold that the klicheres of the amoritz is tamei, it's not an effective partition, and that's why we tell the chover, don't use those kelim. Those kelim remain tamei. So the Gemara. So from here we see. So why does it make a difference to the chover obviously, because the chaver is going to be borrowing the kalim from the Amorites. So from here we see that that chaverim did borrow kalim from the Amorites, and therefore the Gemara's question that even by truma we should not allow tefilas keli b'toch keli, because the Amorites will see how we're doing the keli b'toch keli. He will copy us, but copy us incorrectly. That should make that even by truma we should not allow tefila keli b'toch keli, because we borrow keli from Amoratzim. But now the Gemara just digresses for a moment to talk a little more about the machlokes of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Tanya Amar Bishua. And Rabbi Shua, when hearing this machloikas of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, said, "Boishni medivreichem Beis Shammai. I'm ashamed of your words, Beis Shammai. Efshe isha losha bareva. What will be if there's a woman on this upper story kneading dough in a keli? Isha bareva, the woman, and the keli are tameim shiva, because Beis Hillel says that the klicheres of Amoritz cannot affect a closing of the opening between the first floor and the upper floor, and therefore for anything that can have a tahara, and then the woman could go to the mikvah, or the keli in which they're making the dough could be put into the mikvah, will be tamei. Or batzeit, but the food, Beis Shammai says, is tar. Or similarly, if there's a loigim malei mashkin, if there's a flask full of beverage, loigim tamei, Tumashiva, the flask will be tamei, because Beis Shammai just taught us that the kelim in the upper story remain tamei. And mashkin tayrim, how can we have that the drink, the beverage in a bottle is tahor, and the bottle is tamei? Nitloy talmud echem talmid Beis Shammai. So one of the talmid Beis Shammai came to Rishu and Amalai. Amalach talmud shal Beis Shammai. I'll explain to you the reasoning of Beis Shammai. Amalai Amar, please explain to me. Amalai, kli tamei chaytetz or ein chaytetz? Is a keli that's tamei able to serve as a partition between the upper floor and the lower floor or not? Amaloi, so as we explained, ein achaitzitz. Certainly, it cannot serve as a chatzitza. Kalev shal Amoritz. Now let's go further. The Kalev of Amoritz, what do we consider them? Do we consider them tamei or tahor? Amaloi, tamei. Certainly we consider, everybody knows that halacha, that we consider the Kalev of Amoritz tamei. Said this Talmud to Yeshua. Vim ata amaloi tamei. If you tell him that this keli is tamei, and everything upstairs is tamei, because this keli did not serve as a block between the upper floor and the upper floor, klum mishgiach lecha, will he pay attention to you to accept that everything of his became tamei? V'layayna, furthermore, shim'ata amalei tamei, if you'll tell him such a halacha, oimalach, there's a concern that it will cause him to say that's not true, something not true. He'll say, Shalitar, my kelim atar, v'shalchatame. So to avoid such a situation, Beis Shammai, v'zeh tamen shal Beis Shammai. This is the reason for Beis Shammai. Basically saying that anything that the Amoritz could accept, we say. But we're careful, and this is the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara, not to make gzeira she'ein roiv hatzibur yuchayim lamed boy. Not to make gzeira that cannot be followed. So in the food and drink that we don't eat from the Amoritz anyway, we can make a gzeira. On the kalim that can be taken to the mikvah, we make a gzeira anyway, because we can take them to the mikvah. But on anything that we can make a gzeira, we don't make a gzeira to avoid any problem. Miyad halach Rabbi Yeshua. So Yeshua went nishtatach kivrei Beis Shammai, and he bowed down by the kevah Beis Shammai. Amar nanes lechem atzmes Beis Shammai. I asked for you forgiveness. I spoke excessively against you, Beis Shammai. Umestumash lechem kach. If the words that you say that are difficult to understand are so logical, mufarashis, when you explained what you said, alach kam v'kama, how great are your words. Amar, and they said, koyom of hushkra shina v'pnei tainosav, Rav Yeshua's teeth were always black because of fasting, that he fasted because the way he spoke improperly against Beis Shammai. And as Mefarshim explained, the Shulchan Aruch teaches us there's a cheirim kadmoinim, that one has to be careful how he speaks about people who are no longer in this world. And that was the mistake Rabbi Yeshua made about speaking improperly against Beis Shammai. Furthermore, the Mefarshim explained, it was his teeth that became black, because it's midah keneged midah. The teeth are used for speaking, and he spoke perhaps somewhat improperly about Beis Shammai, and that's why his teeth turned black. The Sefer Chochmah Musar show us, even though Rabbi Shu was such a great Talmud Chacham, and he was thinking about learning and he was speaking and learning, he's always thinking also about his status in his Yerushalayim, his status in his Midas. He always took time to take stock where he stands in his Midas. Did he speak properly or improperly? The Mefarshim now say, now that we have explained, the Gemara has explained more broadly the position of Beis Shammai, now we could understand why Beis Hillel's position was mentioned in the Mishnah before Beis Shammai. Because normally we mention Beis Shammai's position and then Beis Hillel's position, and the halacha, as we know, always follows Beis Hillel. Here, however, Beis Hillel's opinion is cited first, then Beis Shammai's opinion, because the halacha remains like the opinion of Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel, after hearing Beis Shammai's arguments, agreed with Beis Shammai's psak. Now coming back to what was relevant to our sugya, Ketani Mios, what we learned was that Beis Shammai said that the tahara of the Amorites non-earthenware kelim affect l'cha v'loy, affect us the chaverim here. Alma, why does it affect us? Shalina menayu, because we obviously borrow kelim from them. So we borrow kelim from them, as we explained before. We should always make gzera not to allow tefillah kelim b'tar keli, because the Amorites may be toivel the kelim improperly, and we may borrow those kelim and use them. Answers the Gemara, Kishalina menayu, whenever we borrow a vessel from them, matbelina lehu, we're toivel them anyway. So since we're toivel them anyway, even if he was toivel them previously and was toivel them incorrectly, it wouldn't make a difference. We'll be careful to be toivel them again. Ihochi, if so is the case, so why was Beis Hillel prepared to accept Beis Shammai's argument? Nehadilu Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel should say to Beis Shammai, Kishalina mehu, matbelina lehu, when we borrow the kelim from them, will immerse them. And if therefore, why are you so interested in saying that they're Tomei Beis Shammai? Don't say the Tomei, we're going to be titled them anyway. Answers the Gemara, Tomei Meis, we're concerned here that these kelim have a Tumas Mes, because there was a mace in the bottom floor and it wasn't properly closed up the upper floor. Such a keli boy, Hazor Shlish V'Shvi, the loch is that anything that becomes a Tomei Meis requires that on the third day and the seventh day, after it becomes Tomei, they be sprinkled with the Paraduma water and then be put into the mikvah. People do not lend their kelim for 7 days. As Mefarshim explained, usually the amount of time people lend their items for is for the amount of time one needs to use it. A keli could be used in an hour or two in a day. You could do what you need with a keli. People don't borrow it, lend it for a whole day, and since people don't lend it for a whole day, so it will remain ineffective, this whole cheshbon that we borrow it and we would toivel it. Says the Meiri, we know that stam halvaz lamajoyim throughout Shasta, usually halvaz 30 days. What does the Gemara say? It's not even 7 days. Says the Meiri, there's a difference when we're going to return the actual item we borrowed versus when we just take money and we're going to not necessarily get back the same $100 bill we borrowed. When do we say stam halvaz lamajoyim? When we're not returning the item that we actually borrowed. But when we're returning the actual item we borrowed, nobody usually lends something for such a long time. Ask the Gemara, v'atfila lo mehemni, is it true that we do not trust the Amoratsim, that they immerse the kelim properly? V'tanya namonim, al namei aretz, al taharas tefilas tamei meis, we do believe them about the tahara, that they did the tefillah properly. Amar baya, loy kasha, habagufay, when do we trust them, that they say that they themselves, their body is not tamei, for that they have namonis. Habakalif, we don't trust them regarding their vessels. As the Chazon Ish explains, Amoritz is more concerned about the status of his body than the status of his kelim. Rav says the difference is either be the kalif, both are by the kalim. Vloy kasha. Hodam loylem loyhit balti kalim b'toch kalim. In a case where the Amar says I did not immerse one kalim in another kalim, there we trust him. Hodam loyhit balti avloyhit balti b'kli shem afiv k'shveres anoy. But when he says I did it, but I was careful that the opening should be wide enough, There we don't trust him. Vatanya, and we find the same concept. He's trusted to say that these pears never became moist, never became susceptible to tumah. They became susceptible but did not become tame. And the Malay Roim explains, in the case where the Amoritz says that he did not toivel keli b'toiv keli, we have a sex faker. First of all, there's a suffix if the keli was even tame, and even if it was tame, perhaps he did it properly. In the second case, he certainly did keli b'toiv keli. The only question is that he did it properly. It's only one suffix, and we don't trust him. Ask the Gemara v'agufa mimehemen. Abaye said that we trust him regarding the status of his body. For Tanya, chav shabala hazoiz. If a chavah that comes to have the water of the mechata sprinkled on him, mazlo miyad. If he says it's the third day, we believe it's the third day. If he says it's the seventh day, we believe it's the seventh day. However, amarit shabala hazoiz. If amarit comes to have it sprinkled, ein mazlof ach yasmu fanenu shlishi v'shvi. We don't trust him when he says today is his third day. When he says today is his seventh day. Elam Abaya, says Abaya, and this is the way the Siach Yitzchak explains the Gemara. Abaya takes what this Braisa says and uses it to teach us why we believe in Magufa. Since we're so strict, and we don't trust him when he says today is the third day, we don't trust him when he says today is the seventh day, we make us see that today is the third day, today is the seventh day, that's why when he got to Labasoifoy, if he does say that he went through everything properly, we trust him. So that's why, but that's only Begufoy, not the Kalev, and that's why we have to be very careful with the Kalev and Ma'aretz, and if we borrow those Kalev, which the Halacha clearly tells us we're allowed to, we have to first immerse them to make sure that they're properly Tahor.